The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. From the heart of New York City and the tri-state area to the most active real estate hotspots across America. Keeping you plugged in to the latest real estate market trends, from mortgage news and legal developments to everything you need to know about buying or selling a property, benefited by the advice of the experts. Now, here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Dottie Herman, and welcome to Eye on Real Estate, the only real estate show that talks about real estate and everything that has to do with real estate, which is just about everything. I'm joined with my first hour show's co-host, resident and legal expert, attorney Stephen Ebert, who is a partner at the prestigious firm Cassin & Cassin, located throughout the country. Good morning.
Good morning, Dottie. Good, thank you. Glad we have another week here to talk about what's going on in the industry.
Oh, with the industry and the world. I'm just telling you, I just sometimes don't even want to listen to it anymore. I think we all have to kind of, I don't know. I sometimes get a little sad that the world is so divided. And I tell people just do a nice thing for somebody else and try not to get stuck in all the divisions. And it's funny, you know, when I, even when I read articles on, you know, on Fridays, I just usually go through all the current things in real estate just to make sure there's nothing that's really new that I missed. And you'd be surprised. There's different forecasts on so many different, you know, everyone forecasts something different. You know, some forecast rates going up, some they're going to stay the same. Some forecast that we're going to have, you know, a normal, like kind of a continuing year like we had this year in real estate, which is pretty stagnant. Some think we're going to go into a recession. But I just got through telling one of the papers, in my opinion, I don't know your opinion, and remember, when you're reading these things, they're just opinions of people based on past stuff. I think we're going to have a pretty similar year that we have this year. What do you think?
Well, I think, Dottie, it sounds like you have enough people predicting one of them's going to get it right. they basically threw out every possible scenario. I think we have a lot of different forces, and I think it obviously depends on which part of the market you're in, but at some point, things got to give. And what I mean by that, let's talk about residential, and then we'll go commercial. At the end of the day, people's lives will only remain on hold for so long. At some point, they have to make a decision, whether there's changes in their personal life and family, whether they're moving from work, whether they just, you know, need a different space. At some point, they're going to make decisions. And so these market forces could dampen and delay, but at the end of the day, things happen. Now, on the rate side, given what you've just said is a perfect example of the news, mortgage rates went down a little bit this week.
Yeah,
I would say probably, yeah, like 0.25% or so on average. And we always got to be careful with average because it depends on location, loan size, loan type, you know, where you are in the market, property type. But on average, about 0.25%. But at the same time, Federal Chair Jerome Powell said also that, you know, rates could continue to go up next year, and he's talking about the Fed funds rate, not mortgage rates, but that does have a feedback loop. So, you know, you get good news on one side, you get maybe news in the future, and I think that's sort of the market we've been in. You keep on getting conflicting bits of information and steps that are going on. But, Dottie, at the end of the day, I think for a lot of certain market types, you know, we're seeing good momentum over there. And I think, you know, I think it'll move along. You know, other markets, we're seeing lower inventory. And, you know, look, even like the second home market, some parts of it are doing very well and some are a little flatter. So it really depends on price point and location, too.
Yeah. We have a lot to say on that. I think we have a caller, so just let me take this caller, and then we're going to continue talking about, you know, what the market's doing now. And I really want to talk a little about the mortgage rates, because I had some interesting calls. Actually, some of the papers called me on that. But let me take our caller, James. Good morning, James. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good, I think.
My question is, I was doing a job at a woman's house, and she's looking to sell it. It's a four-family house.
Right.
And she hasn't gone to a realtor or anything yet, so I'm wondering what kind of price she wants me to give her an offer.
Are you looking to buy yourself? Is that, or are you just looking to list it? Are you looking to maybe buy it?
No, I want to buy it as an investment property.
Okay. Shoot, finish.
So I talked to a realtor I know, and she said the value of the house could be between $604 and $800.
Oh, that's a big...
That's a big margin of error.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the rental income right now is $6,600. Taxes are about $1,200 a year. It's about a half-acre property. But off of the rent, am I able to evaluate the value of the home, or...
Well, I'm going to let Steve do this one, but I will tell you, if you're buying this for investment property, which is what you said, so then you're looking to rent it, then investment property is not, in other words, the way they find value in rental property is different than residential. In residential, they just use comparable properties that sold or are on the market currently. With rentals, they look at the rental income. I'm trying to remember the formula. Do you remember, Steven?
Well, let me take a step back for a second, and I think Dottie's hitting the nail on the head in that there's two ways to look at it, and what's interesting about it is what your longer-term goals are, right? Let me throw some concepts out there, and then we can go into specifics. Number one is the position of the property, right? What kind of area is it in? Are there a lot of rentals, or there's really a lack of supply? Are there a lot of people who have this as a primary home or a second home, or is it really a rental area? So one of the first things you're thinking about is where is this house positioned and how is it positioned and how I can grow this asset? Also, what is the physical condition of the property? Are the rents that you can get in the market, are you able to increase the rents by maybe renovations or so forth in the property, and that will drive and change the economics. And when you think about your purchase price, factoring in a possible renovation and thinking about how maybe one could finance that renovation as well.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to say you have to also find out if there's tenants in there and they have leases that are in place for a couple of years, I don't believe they can break them. So you would have to keep their rents, right? I'm pretty correct there.
Yeah. Let me just tackle a couple of things also to consider. And then ultimately, is your plan to make this a long-term income-producing asset, or is it the type of asset that you're looking to acquire, reposition, stabilize, maybe transition the tenants over, if you can, to higher-paying tenants, and then look to resell? So depending upon what your goals, you want to look at it from a few ways, because regardless of how a bank or the market might view the asset from evaluation, the fact that you got an answer between roughly $600,000 and into the $800,000, which is a tremendous range, goes to show it's all about positioning the property. So I think what you need to do is, before you even think about what the value of the property is today, you need to think about what you can turn the value of the property into in the future, and then work yourself back and say, well, wait a minute, do I need to do renovations? What is the cost that I'm going to have of maybe empty apartments or so forth to position to that future value, and then back into the number?
But you want to simplify it. Okay, what do you, are there people renting it now? Do you know if they have leases?
Yeah, they're full. The two of the leases are up in the next 4 months. And the one woman's going to be leaving.
So do you think that the rent that the current owner is getting is about what market is, or it could be improved, or is it even above market? And a really new will actually get you less rent. Where do you think the rents are?
She hasn't raised it in a long time. It could definitely go up a little bit.
Okay, so it sounds like, and then also you came by to spec out the house for a job. It sounds like maybe you're someone who could do some upgrades yourself.
Yeah, I have a plumbing company.
Okay, so great. So that's one other thing that's also very helpful. You're able to improve the property at a lower cost than, let's say, somebody who is not in one of the industries that would do repairs and upgrades for the house. You're in one of the trades. So that also allows you to improve the property at probably a lower cost than another buyer. But really think about just what the property could become. And then you have to ask yourself, you know, and what that value would be. And the last thing I would say is, what's interesting about residential, which is very different than commercial, is that some people buy to live there, and some people buy as an investment, and the math is different, right? We talked about this on the show in the past. The psychology is a little bit different. So one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, what kind of upgrades you want to make to the property? Maybe some portion of the property designed for tenants, which is one level of upgrades, and maybe one of the units you give a better upgrade because maybe one day you're looking to make this, you would resell it, and this would be somebody's primary residence with some associated rental income.
Yeah, but could I
just... Yes, that's what the Whippet does now.
Yeah, but I would just tell you this, and this is, like, I think really pretty easy, because if it's a four-family, is it legal, number one? You know,
yes.
Okay, so if it's legal, more than likely, rental property is going to stay that. You're probably going to get more money as a rental unit than a single-family home. So you should assess the current rental income, okay? And then, as Stephen said, see what they're paying, and then you have to look and see what the rate, what the current rates are, because, you know, rents are high, and see what the potential is for rent increases. That's number one. And then, you know, look, you know, so that you can get from market trends, or we can call us and we can do it for you. Then you should look at the operating expenses. So you look at what the property taxes are, insurance, maintenance, and property management fees, if there are. I don't know if you're going to manage it or somebody else is managing it. Okay, so you have to look at that. Okay, and then when you look at the insurance, and when you look at the taxes, there's a possibility that they're overtaxed, they could be undertaxed, and you can look into that, and you can call us at another time, we'll tell you how to do that, because that's like, maybe they're overtaxed, which you can apply for a certiorari hearing. Then you look at the cash flow. What's the operating any? And you do that by subtracting operating expenses, what it costs you to run it, from what you get from the rental. So you have to look at what that building costs to run the whole thing, maintenance, lighting, whatever you're paying, and then what you're getting from rent, or if you're going to throw them out and get new tenants, what's the potential rent, and you see what kind of cash flow you have. And see if it covers your mortgage payments and see if it provides a positive return. Usually, when you first buy a property, it's hard to get a positive return right away. But if this property needs a lot of upgrading and you can raise the rents, then you might be able to do it. Then you look at the financing. If you're going to pay cash, you're going to go through a bank and see what that interest rate's going to look like. And, you know, you look at market conditions, and I can tell you this. Rentals in this is in New York City, I see.
New Jersey.
Well, okay, so rental properties usually are pretty good, and they're not low, okay? And look at the property and you know, just see how much money you have to put into it. But basically look at the rental, you know, the rental income. Okay, now you could look at potential rental income if you're going to raise people. And then you've got to have a little extra cash. Let's say somebody doesn't pay rent. Or let's say when these tenants move out, maybe it takes you a month or so or two to find a new tenants. So you have to factor all of that in. But if you have a good price, I just don't think there's a better... And you don't mind managing it yourself, or you have somebody
No.
going to manage it.
That's think no
it's
problem.
The best, I think it's a good way to make money. I do. It's just assuming you buy it at the right price. And that, and the price is really going to depend on the income, because rental income property is not the, is, that's how it's determined, by cash flow and how much the rents are. So I think, for starters, you need to find out what the current rents would be if you were to find a different different party to rent each apartment.
What they could be.
What they should be. Don't go high. Like, don't, you know, an average rent. Like, don't find the highest rent. What the average rent for, if it's a two-bedroom, if it's a one-bedroom, where it is. And then, of course, the condition. And I don't know the condition of the rental building or, you know, the apartments. And maybe if you want to fix them up, you, or paint or something like that, or maybe you'll give somebody a credit to have it painted. But that's really how you evaluate that. And so I can't tell you on the top of my head, but if you send us a, if you want to call in or text us and send us the rental information as far as how much the rents go for and what you need to know, what the property costs to run, and can, she should be able to give you that, all that information.
Okay.
All right? And if you do that, if you send it to us, we can tell you what it should go for.
Okay, I'll get back to you.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
And by the way, I do think that's a great, I think rental income, I think it's hard to find for families, and I think if you can find them and you don't mind managing them, because, and you have some extra cash.
And it's also a great way for a first-time investor to get started, because a 1-4 family is still considered a residential loan. Once you get bigger than a 4 family, it's generally a commercial loan. And for someone who hasn't gone through the process, it is an easier process. Once you get into commercial loans, you might have to do environmental testing, which you wouldn't have to do for residential. You know, the lender might say, what's your experience in managing real estate? Less of a threshold in residential. So I think a 4 family is a great way to get started. It gives you a taste of how it works, but it gives you the opportunity to get experience. And again, you know, just going in, it gets to be clear, you know, you could have a 4 family where you rent out all 4 units, or you could have a 4 family where ultimately an owner occupies one unit and then rents out the other 3. And so that's an important consideration in not only management, but it widens the audience of who might be your buyer down the road.
Right.
Because, Dottie, I'm a firm believer that when you go ahead and make a real estate investment, or really any investment for that matter, you want to say, okay, what's my exit strategy? And you should always think about it even before you walk in, and to say, what are my numbers, and do those numbers make sense for down the road for a future buyer for me?
But you do have to have some extra cash. I remember there was a caller, Stephen, that called in, this is a couple of years back, and he had, I don't think it was a 4 family, maybe it was a 2 family. He didn't live in it, and there was one lady, because he wanted to sell it, and he wanted to get everybody out, and one lady wouldn't get out, and he was going crazy. He had to go to court, and in, I can't speak for Jersey, but if it's anything like New York, it's hard to get somebody out, you know, and especially
it takes time. It takes time. Look, eventually the landlord will win, but the difference is it takes time. I do think New Jersey is slightly easier than New York, particularly compared to New York City. New Jersey does have a law which basically, if you have a tenant that's in there that has paid on time and has not caused trouble and has not been destructive, you do have to offer them the right to renew their lease when they expire. So that's also a very interesting thing, and that's a hot topic around the country of how much flexibility, even on fully private property, landlords have. We can talk more about that after the break.
Yeah, we have a break. We'll be right back, and then we'll tell you more about what the real estate market's doing now and who's going to be on the second half of the show.
Christmas Mortgage Miracle is back and bigger than ever.
For 5 years, the Christmas Mortgage Miracle has made it possible for you to win next year's mortgage or rent.
This year, we've raised the grand prize to $18,000.
To pay for next year's mortgage or rent. Increase your opportunity to win when you enter up to once per day and complete optional bonus tasks.
Enter the Christmas Mortgage Miracle Sweepstakes. Visit am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com.
Feel like you're trying to push a boulder uphill wearing skates? If you run or manage a local business today, you're challenged like never before. We get it, and we want to help. We're Salem Surround, and when it comes to marketing, consider us your personal move-you-forward company. In a recent study, we found that 53% of local businesses were classified as novices when it came to designing, implementing, and managing their marketing needs. And that's where Salem Surround truly shines. We're a full-service marketing agency that'll help you increase your customer base by designing incredibly effective plans to reach your consumers day, night, and everywhere they might be. Let us give you an absolutely free audit of your current marketing and what your competition is doing. Our digital sales and support teams are the best in the industry and deliver customized personal service that's second to none.
If you're a local business and ready for the next step, Google Salem Surround New York right now. Our experts are ready to help you take your marketing to the next level. Google Salem Surround New York today.
Today is Veterans Day. A day to honor the brave men and women who've guarded and fought for our freedom around the world.
They are what we can only aspire to be, to lay down one's life so that others might live.
Today and every day, when you see a veteran, thank them. Thank them for their sacrifice, because freedom isn't free. We send our best wishes to our American heroes, our veterans. AM 970, The Answer.
This is an urgent announcement for anyone that's $10,000 or more in debt. Before you make another minimum payment, you need to know there are special programs that can completely free you of your debt. Total Financial Freedom can help you become debt-free in months instead of years. Resolve your credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and timeshares. Call now at 800-533-6605 for a free consultation. For 16 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands get out of debt. You can feel confident when calling because Total Financial Freedom is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and a Christian-owned company. Don't get stuck in the endless cycle of payments. You have the right to get your debt resolved and substantially reduce your monthly payments. Call Christian-owned Total Financial Freedom now at 800-533-6605. That's 800-533-6605. 800-533-6605.
Both houses of Congress are considering legislation that will impact your favorite talk shows and news updates. The AM Radio for Everyone Vehicle Act would ensure that auto manufacturers will not eliminate AM radio from the dashboards of future car models. Over 80 million Americans, men and women just like you, depend on AM radio for news, severe weather updates, various debates on talk shows, and local information that's essential for public safety. When a disaster strikes or lives are threatened by wildfires in places from California to the Northeast, AM radio is often the only lifeline a community has. You have the power to make a real difference. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act is H.R. 3413 in the U.S. House and Senate Bill 1669 in the U.S. Senate. Please contact your senator and congressman asking them to support this vital legislation to keep AM radio on the dashboards of American cars now and forever.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. Here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back. And before we continue our conversation on real estate and what's going on there, I just want you to know that we have two special guests this week in the second half of our show. At 11 a.m., we will be joined by Douglas Elliman's own Alfred Renna. And Alfred is the Senior Managing Director. And at 11:30, we'll be joined by Kathy Burns. And Kathy is a certified professional organizer and author of How to Master Your Muck. And I can tell you, especially if you live in the city with small apartments, that's a continuing problem, so you're not going to want to miss that. And, of course, you can always tune in and get any of our old shows on the mobile app or the iHeart. There's an app, and you can get any one of our past shows if you miss them. And then you can also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, at Dottie Herman.
And then, Dottie, we just don't want to forget, we want to thank all of our veterans on this important day. So thank you for everything you've done for our country and your service.
Oh, yes. We don't want, you know, I think sometimes holidays lose their meaning. You know, I think sometimes, you know, we get caught up with a holiday and we forget what we're celebrating. And you don't want to forget the vets who gave up their lives for how we have a country that's free now. And they usually celebrate on the day of veterans.
It's celebrated on the day. So, you know, so some firms were closed yesterday. Some, you know, were not. Today is the technical day, but some businesses, you know, sort of observed it in part yesterday. But you're absolutely right, Dottie. You know, very, very important day, meaningful day. You know, I know we're so used to saying, oh, it's wishing someone a happy holiday. And you know, I look at it as a celebratory holiday in the sense of celebrating all the people who have served and given so much. And it's a very meaningful day. So, you know, thanks. And I want to give a personal shout out to my dad, who's also a veteran, as well.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And you know, I wanted to mention before we go on, I had a caller that texted me, how should I go about planning to get the best rates on a jumbo mortgage? And so basically, it's pretty much the same as a regular mortgage. You know, make sure before you apply for your jumbo mortgage that you check a look at your credit score, have someone check it, and resolve any issues that might be on it. Because you always want to do that, whether it's any kind of mortgage. You want to make sure that you have that in shape before you apply. And you should always shop around for rates because different lenders have different programs and different rates. So you want to make sure you go to one or two or three, on my suggest, different lenders and see what they have to offer. Of course, you want to have, like in residential real estate, when you're buying a home, a good financial profile. You don't want to leave jobs. And remember, the bigger, when you're taking a home equity loan, the larger down payment, okay, to reduce your loan-to-value ratio and may result in a more favorable rate. You have to look at points. And if you look at your debt, and this is what I would do, you take all your current debt and what the interest rate is. And I'm not sure what a credit card interest rate is, but it's pretty high. Consolidate that all and then see what you can get a home equity loan on. And if, you know, a lot of times you can consolidate your debts, take a home equity line of credit, and it might be a much cheaper interest rate, and that's what you have to compare. But remember, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, do you want to just on the jumbo part for a second? One thing I do want to mention is really understand the bank philosophy. When you have a regular conforming or conventional loan, while there is some differences, there's less variance amongst banks than in the jumbo loan. Because a lot of jumbo loans, banks actually hold in their portfolio and they sell it to their investors differently than a conforming or a conventional loan. So what that may mean is you're going to find institutions that are looking for relationships. And a lot of times, if you're willing to maybe move your banking or some investments, they'll actually lower your rate for you. So in the jumbo world especially, there is a little more negotiability. And what you need to find out is what's driving that bank, which I know sounds really weird. You know, Dottie, you think about it, you walk into a bank, you think of marble columns, you think of a vault in the back. You don't think of the fact that banks have sales. And I know with Black Friday coming up after Thanksgiving, you know, we're starting to already get the coupons for sales, right? But banks have sales too. Banks are in the business of lending out money. They don't leave the cash in a little cubbyhole with your name on it. And so if they're not lending money, then they're not making money. So they'll have all different types of incentive programs, effectively of how do we bank if you maybe open a credit card or do this, that could tweak your rate. So definitely take your time and shop around because every bank has a different balance sheet and they're looking to do different things, particularly in these times.
Oh, that's true. And some of the same person said, you know, why are there different rates? In other words, why are the jumbo rates different? And again, why are the equity loans different rates? And, you know, they use a different criteria. A lot of banks use a different criteria to determine what they're going to charge you on a jumbo. But remember something. If you take a line of credit out on your mortgage, if you don't, let's just say your house is worth $750,000, and let's say you take a $100,000 line of credit out, you don't get charged for that unless you use it. That's number one. So if you just need to have a little spare cash just in case of an emergency because you don't have any, you could do that. You just don't want to get carried away and do what I saw happen. I think, Stephen, it was like the 2008 time where people pulled.
Oh, yeah.
All they did, Stephen, pull equity out. They would take their equity out, and then they would go buy another property with the equity from one But meanwhile, that property didn't have equity anymore. Okay, they kept on parlaying it, and that's fine when you have a going-up market. But once the market dropped, what happened is they had no equity in their properties, and if they had to sell it, they were in the minus. And that happened with people, too. So even if you're taking an equity loan out to maybe pay for your kids' college, or maybe you want to do some home improvements, remember that don't take too much out and take all, because if, God forbid, you have to sell it, okay, and then you have no equity, you're not going to get anything for it. So that's really important.
Absolutely. You want to be careful from being over-leveraged. But, Dottie, I want to just go back just a moment ago when you were talking about how they're pricing out the rates. And, Dottie, I want to take a moment to just, you know, give people a little insight of how actually banks come up with the interest rate, right? Because it's sort of like one of those processes where we know they went up, we know they went down, or maybe they're stagnant, but really, how does it all really happen, right?
That's good.
So the way banks look at it is they first have to calculate the risk. And one of the reasons why we talk about the bond market, and particularly the 10-year U.S. Treasury, as the main driver, not the exclusive, but the main driver for mortgage rates, because that's sort of your foundation of your house, if your house is building your rate. And the idea that the U.S. Treasury is as close to a zero-risk investment somebody can make. So when banks are calculating that element, they realize, okay, here is sort of what we need to of what a rate would be charged if there was no risk. And then from there, they build up. Is it riskier because it's a primary residence versus an investment property? Different states. How is a co-op versus a condo versus a house different? So what happens is they add these plus factors onto that sort of zero-risk rate, and that's how they build the interest rate that they're putting out in the market. Now, why the 10-year U.S. Treasury on a 30-year loan? The reason is because that's really the most widely available and sold Treasury product that's out there. So there's a lot of good quantitative information to calculate the rate. And then the banks have to look at making a profit, too. So that's really how they construct the rate. And the last part also on it, Dottie, on the mortgage rates, and I'll get to the equity lines in a second afterwards, is that mortgages, residential mortgages, are generally priced in 1/8 of 1%, 0.125% increments. And so what happens is sometimes you can see there's movement within that range, and maybe the bank can give you a little incentive or not, depending upon how the market's moving also. And so that's how the general way in which mortgage rates are calculated, and why when we call the bond market rallying and treasury rates go down, mortgage rates tend to follow. And that's the real basics of how mortgage rates are calculated.
And then I have a regular listener and friend, Molly, who just said, you know, Long Island, it came out that they had some of the highest zip codes. I think it was maybe it was Sagaponack, or maybe it was Watermill. It was Sagaponack. And it was among the most expensive areas in the U.S. It came in the top five. Thank you, Molly, for that information. I read the same article. One of the highest, in the top five highest zip codes in the country. We'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Citi Field.
I know it's hard to believe, but the holidays will be here before you know it. Why not make them truly memorable this year on board the Atlantis yacht with New York Cruises? Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. Captain Fred and the amazing New York Cruises staff go above and beyond with every detail. Whether you've been put in charge of planning the office Christmas party or looking to do something exciting for the holidays, why not take the party off land and onto the sea? 212-633-1231 or visit newyorkcruises.com and see how Captain Fred and his first class yacht crew will make your special occasion an unforgettable day. The Atlantis of New York Cruises is the perfect venue for corporate events, weddings, engagement and anniversary parties, reunions, retirement parties, birthdays, bar and bat mitzvahs, you name it. 212-633-1231. Book your unforgettable event today or visit newyorkcruises.com.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala. Let's talk about Bay Ridge Honda, run by my friend Rob Sabah. The Sabah family has owned and operated this Honda dealer for over 60 years. My grandfather bought a Honda Accord there in 1980 and kept it for decades. Bay Ridge Honda serves all five boroughs, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Staten Island, Queens, and the Bronx. My parents, my sister, my brother-in-law, everyone I know has purchased a car from Bay Ridge Honda because the Sabah family and their team are the best and most trusted in the business. And you can save big all month long at Bay Ridge Honda's Big Black Friday sale. Big inventory, big benefits, and big savings with all the new Honda models in stock marked below manufacturers' retail prices. So visit Bay Ridge Honda on 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Brooklyn or online at BayRidgeHonda.com. That's BayRidgeHonda.com. These deals are available to qualified buyers. Additional fees may apply. See dealer for details. This sale ends November 30th, 2023.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. I've been talking about the court reporting program at Plaza College for some time now. Well, Plaza College has been around since 1916, and not only do they have the School of Court Reporting, but they have four other schools of study, including their new School of Nursing. The accelerated Bachelor of Science in Nursing program can be completed in just 16 months. And I'd like to offer congratulations to the first graduating cohort of nursing students. This first cohort began with 20 students and 18 successfully completed the program. What an accomplishment. Plaza also has a dental hygiene program with a 20-chair community clinic. Students work on live patients under the supervision of a dentist. It's incredible. I saw it myself. For additional information regarding the programs I mentioned or Plaza's other areas of study, like their School of Business or Paralegal Studies or School of Allied Health, email info@plazacollege.edu. That's info@plazacollege.edu.
AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Calling all patriots. Are you ready for the adventure of a lifetime? Journey with me on the Patriots Alaska Cruise in June 2024. We'll dive deep into geopolitical trends and unpack the influences shaping the world today. It's an incredible opportunity to engage with me and other patriots on an epic seven-day journey. Witness the untouched wilderness of Alaska while discussing America's future. Join us from June 29th to July 6, 2024. Book online, patriotsalaskacruise.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
AM 970, The Answer.
Continuing with Eye on Real Estate, your premier source for real estate information. Here's the host of Eye on Real Estate, the vice chair of Douglas Elliman, Dottie Herman.
We're back. You're listening to Eye on Real Estate. I'm here with my co-host Stephen Ebert, and we're going to tell you everything that's going on in real estate. And a big proposal, of course, it's not been approved yet, but Mets owner Steve Cohen revealed his plan for $8 billion casino anchored project by Citi Field, and this would be an $8 billion development, Metropolitan Park. The project would be built on 50 acres of asphalt parking lots surrounding the stadium. And Cohen said, it's time the world's greatest city got the sports and entertainment park it deserves. And that's what Cohen told the Post. And Metropolitan Park, if its bid is successful would feature, because it's got to be zoned differently, it would feature multiple hotel towers, a music venue, and 20 acres of green space, in addition to a casino. According to its website, Hard Rock International would partner with Cohen. I think Cohen dropped out, but there's still a lot of bidders, to operate the facility. There would be bars and restaurants, a food hall, and it would have local Queens businesses and a sports book built around the casino, as well as a tailgate park, athletic field. It would be a big deal. And
I got one word for it: bravo. I say bravo because that is the epitome of New York. Whether there are certain details one likes or doesn't like, this is what's called, you know, as was said in the past, that vision thing. You know, it's about time that we have some major approaches about a vision for this city and about doing things and being active. And again, whether you like or dislike every detail, you know, you can get into that conversation. But the concept of someone saying, wait a minute, we need to have a vision of transforming an area, which, as a lifelong Mets fan, you know, really an area that was very underutilized and honestly a mess. You know, some of the surrounding neighborhood, it's chop shops, it's this. You're trying to have a world-class city, and you have a beautiful stadium next to basically junkyards. And we absolutely need to have a vision. And so I say bravo to them.
Well, yes. And it, you know, there's a lot of bidders on it. But it has to, because I believe that it was designed as parkland. Whoever gets it would need the approval from the governor. From the governor's office and the state legislature for commercial development, because it's not zoned as commercial. It's so they have to change the zoning. But I would think that it'll take some time, but I think that would happen. And I agree with you, Stephen. I think it would be great for New York. I think we should have something like that. And as you said, what's around it is just junk.
I mean, literally, Dottie, I'm going to this beautiful stadium that's there, and I go to a Mets game. I have to drive and park my car under a highway ramp. That's where I park, under a highway ramp full of whatever, garbage, debris, and so forth. And then the walk from there till you finally get to the stadium is, you know, somewhat graffitied, you know, open chop shops. And it's like, that's how you want to encourage people? If the whole point of having a stadium is creating a neighborhood, creating a place where people want to go to and actually stay, instead, I go there, I park my car, I go to the game, and then I immediately leave.
Right.
Why would I stay over there?
There's nothing to stay for. But if there was
nothing,
if this got through, you might stay.
I might make a whole day of it. I mean, I'll give you another example. I was up in Boston a number of years ago. My wife was at a medical conference, and I went. And then I went with someone else that we know. And we walked around, and we walked by Boston University, went to Fenway Park, the Red Sox Stadium, and went into the stores and had a tour and walk around. And what Steve Cohen and the Mets have envisioned is actually much, much grander. But when I was in Boston, I had a taste. I had a little appetizer of the whole grand buffet that he's proposing. And, you know, look, do I love casinos? No. I don't think they're as beneficial to the economy as people, you know, talk about sometimes. But the fact is this: New York has made a decision to allow multiple casino licenses, and I think if we're going to do that, okay, which again I'm not the biggest fan of doing that, but if we're going to do that, at least do it smartly. I mean, what are the alternatives? I've literally seen the other plans. There was one plan to put it right by the UN, another plan to put it in Times Square. Yeah, I mean, but these were some of the things thrown out here. Here you have a global venue, not just the Mets. They're putting in the New York City Football Club. They're moving that soccer team there. You already have the U.S. Open. So you have people globally coming to this area, and they literally parachute in, see the sporting venue, and then run back out. And now all of a sudden you have the opportunity to make a beautiful venue, a beautiful gateway, where New Yorkers and visitors will say, wow, I want to hang out here. I want to actually see what's going on and be involved. And I think there is so much opportunity. And Dottie, this is when people talk about a multiplier effect of sports venues and entertainment helping the local community. It's a vision like this, right? Because, as you mentioned, they propose all sort of housing with it. But if you want to build a neighborhood, you're bringing in visitors who will demand services and have venues, which will only upgrade the whole community for the residents who live nearby and are in the area. And I would imagine is that you're going to have upgraded parks and athletic fields, which kids can use and families can use. And I think when this is all done, there is a tremendous opportunity to just take an area that's been so underutilized and really transform it into an area that we could all be proud of as New Yorkers.
And that's true. And just so you know, the Queensborough president, Donovan Richards, he supports this project for Metropolitan Park proposal, and so did the Queens Chamber of Commerce. But the state senator, Jessica Ramos, whose district includes Willits Point, which is where this is, has more cautious words, according to the Post, and she said she'll be hosting another town hall on this project at the end of the month. So if you live around there and you're interested in knowing, because a lot of people have objections, they think gambling and this and that, maybe it's not good for us, you should definitely get involved and go to find out when the town hall meetings are and go and really listen to the proposals. I mean, that's my advice. I think so many times, Stephen, I've said this before on the radio, people complain about things and this and that, but they don't really go out and take any action, even with voting, okay? You know how many people don't vote in New York City? I mean, so, you know.
It's embarrassing about the people who don't show, about not showing up. And look, if you want to complain, you know, you got to at least show up and vote. I mean, it would be great if everyone had the time to volunteer in campaigns, really do a deep dive of the issues, which is tough. People are working, they have families, they have other things. But you got to have some level of participation, Dottie. So I think you're so right. And if I can make one last point on this, you don't get another second bite at the apple. And look, again, plans don't have to be perfect. You don't have to necessarily agree with everything. But all I got to say is turn back the clock. We could have had an amazing Amazon headquarters with jobs, high-paying jobs. And by the way, as part of the plan, Amazon was going to pay for a variety of infrastructure upgrades to subways. So when you're going on the subways in some of those stations in Queens and say, oh, I wish it was newer and cleaner, you could have had that. But instead, you had some of the politicians there who killed the transaction. So look, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yeah.
Is every project going to have everything you want? Never. It never will. But look at what your alternative. Do you want nothing to happen and have junkyards be the future of that neighborhood and be there forever?
And Stephen, getting back to what you said about that project, the Amazon that was supposed to open, they were also going to hire people who lived in the area and train them, and they therefore supplying so many jobs for people and training. And I, you know, when it got axed, and I won't get into the politics of it, I thought it was a big mistake. So that's why you have to be involved, because if you don't know anything about it, then people just do what they want because it's
yeah.
the opposition. And now you listen to the news, right? If you really don't know what's true. I don't know what's true anymore because everyone has a different slant. So my suggestion to everyone, it's what I do. I kind of do some research and homework on the differences, because the way they report news, you would think you could listen to completely different stories.
Well, Dottie, you make a tremendous point. Thank goodness for the internet. When we were young kids, there was no internet to look up. Everybody has plans out there. You have the people who are in favor, and I'm sure there'll be some opposed. If you don't want to get someone else's opinion, look it up yourself. Look up the plans that they're proposing. It's all available for free from the comfort of your own home to look up. You know, back in the old days, you had to go somewhere and go maybe down to the building department to actually try to see what's being proposed. It's all out there. They're putting it out there. And so if you do not like the filter that you're getting, then rip off the filter and go straight to the primary source. And just what I would say is this. Wherever you land, and look, there's differences of opinion, of course, and that's what makes the country great. But make sure it's an educated opinion. Don't just take, you know, a tweet or a quick snippet or a cute line and then all of a sudden make a massive commentary. And what I would say in this case is we're really taking land and actually improving it. I know sometimes people think every time there's a real estate development, you know, oh, what about the environment? We're putting asphalt on every inch of grass. That's not always true. And in fact, sometimes we're creating more park space because we're using the space more efficiently. I mean, what would you rather have and what would be better for the environment? You know, a junkyard and things decaying and God knows what waste is being produced, or actually some housing and a park and an entertainment venue. So understand that development does not mean somehow taking away pristine parkland. Look at the net of what's happening.
I also think, Steve, a lot of people think when they hear the word gambling that you can gamble that there's going to be, you know, less desirable people that are... And when you listen to the proposal, I don't want to influence anyone, but listen to the proposals, get involved, there's town hall meetings, and find out what's going on, and you'll find out, and then you can interpret that any way you like. But it's really, you have to really go to your own, you have to really do your own homework now, because truthfully, everybody slants it based on whatever they want, you know, you to believe. You have to really dwell into it.
And Dottie, I want to stress one thing on the gambling. Look, personally, that's not my thing. I'm not a huge fan of it. But here's the thing people got to understand. New York has already allocated the licenses, meaning is they've already made the decision to allow a certain number of gaming venues. So now that that decision's been made, let's use it smartly because we're already at a different decision point. We're not at the point of whether we should or should not have it. That ship has sailed, Dottie. They have allowed a couple of licenses to be had. So now we need to just change the conversation to, since the state has allowed it, we need to do it in the smartest and best way. And so that's the conversation to have because we can't go back in time. That's already been authorized, and that's a very important point.
Yeah. And to your point, on this proposal, the bidders so far are Silverstein, SL Green, Related, Saks Fifth Avenue. They're big players, and they're not going to mess around with it and make something junk. I think it'll be a destination. I think it'll become, if they do it right, I think this will become a destination place where people go, as you said, even if they don't go to the game, it'll be a destination. And, of course, the revenue will help taxes. And I think we need that help.
I agree. And then also, we already have tremendous infrastructure there. I mean, if you look at, you know, Citi Field, Willets Point, U.S. Open, we have Long Island Railroad. It's already there. The station's already there. We have the number 7 subway. Station's already there. And we also have a very good transportation for cars and busing, too. There's a lot of highway. You know, it's not far from the airport. It's a place where people from the suburbs and the city can both mingle. So it's a very interesting location with a lot of opportunity.
Steven, time goes so quick when we're on. I don't know where it goes to. A lot of information. Please make sure you write in to us and or call in and give us your questions. Steve, we'll talk next week. And we'll be back with Alfred Renner from Douglas Elliman, who's going to talk about real estate market in New York City and the rental market and what's going on and what you need to know before you buy or rent. Have a great week and we'll be right back.
Have a great week.
The preceding hour of programming paid for by...
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.